Breakfast puppies, dinner puppies, lunch puppies. Ain't no thing. I'll dust all them puppies because I'm Jebediah. I'm the farmer over here. I got all your dusting puppy needs.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Character Jam, Bikers, Dice, and Bars presents yet one more attempt at us making characters while we are kind of intoxicated. This time, it's me, NPC.
Just Jacob.
Poppy Beaujolais.
Xander unfortunately could not make it for this, so we're filling some bonus content while he's out. This time, we're taking it back. We're going to do Dungeons & Dragons old school style. We are starting with the Rules Cyclopedia edition. I want, eventually, to hit as many game systems as we can over the course of this podcast. What I would like to ultimately do is if we show a system that has multiple editions, I want to start from the beginning. That means eventually, we're going to do First Ed Shadowrun. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. Your face, Jacob.
That means nothing to me.
Oh, you'll probably want to sit that one out, Poppy. It's complex and tiresome. Huh. We're also going to do First Ed, Palladium First Ed, Warhammer First Ed, whatever you can think of. This is Dungeons & Dragons. It has the six stats that you are probably by now used to.
What are those stats again?
They are Strength, STR, Dexterity, or DEX, Constitution, or CON. Intelligence, or INT, Wisdom, WIS, and finally, Charisma, CHA. No, we're going to do this straight up old school style. We're going to reach into this bin here and get 3 6-sided dice.
Wait a minute. What is this I see before me?
You didn't see shit.
No. Is NPC making a character this time?
With a pen?
I am, and with a pen.
That is a pen.
What?
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek. Suck it, Trebek. Nathaniel, are you using a pen on a character
sheet? I'm the dungeon master. I control worlds, universes. Every magic item you found, I put it there.
But you're using a pen.
Yeah.
On a character sheet.
It's a red pen, which means everything he's writing is a mistake.
Hey, see, there you go.
Because he's the dungeon master.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Here's how this works.
All right.
3d6 in order down the line.
Not 4d6, keep the best three?
I don't know what this newfangled math you're talking about is, but that mollycoddling bullshit does not stand at my table.
But.
God, I gotta do math. God damn it.
Oh, okay. It's not so bad. Okay, I'm the average man. All right.
Well, I know what I'm playing.
All right, we'll start with Poppy. What you got there?
Strength, 11. Dexterity, 9. Constitution, 9. Intelligence or intuition?
Intelligence.
Intelligence, 6. Oh. Wisdom, 12.
Yeah.
Charisma, 10.
All right. Jacob?
Strength, 15. Dex, 11. Constitution, 10. Intelligence, 13. Wisdom, 15. Charisma, 8.
All right. Mine, strength, 7. Dexterity, 13. Constitution, 12. Intelligence, 9. Wisdom, 15. And finally, charisma, 14. I don't know about y'all. I think my character is a natural cleric.
I think my character is a natural cleric.
I think the highest thing that Poppy has over here is a 12 of wisdom. I think Poppy's also a cleric. I think we are a party full of clerics.
I am a wizard, Harry.
Let's see what we qualify for. So I believe a fighter requires a minimum strength of 9.
I could be a fighter.
I could be a fighter. I have a strength of 11.
Oh, wait. So fighter, cleric,
thief, magic user.
Magic user.
Dwarf.
And thief halfling. Do not have minimums.
Oh. Hmm.
A dwarf only requires a constitution of 9 or better.
Ooh, I have a constitution of 9.
An elf requires an intelligence of 9 or better.
Nope.
A halfling requires a, oh wow, a dex of 9 or better and a con of 9 or better.
I could be a halfling.
And that's
you
it.
You are a halfling.
You know what, Jacob?
I meant that the most.
You know what? I'm going to be a halfling. That's what I'm going to do.
Actually, I am pretty hobbit-like in my everyday life.
Are we all three going to be hobbits now?
No, I think I'm going to be a dwarf.
Okay.
So, hobbit, dwarf, cleric.
Okay. Yeah, we can work with this. A hobbit in this game, if I remember correctly, is halfling. Like a halfling. Micro. I say hobbit, God damn it, because they're hobbits. That's what they are.
Find the halfling.
Although I could also be a thief. However, so a thief, a dwarf,
is handy.
What's my what? You have the minimums for a dwarf.
Yeah, I'm a shitty dwarf.
You'd look good with a beard.
Trust me. Okay, can I put a little aside in here? Once upon a time, I was in this community theater group that was for kids ages 11 to 18. We did a stage production of The Hobbit. I played Oin.
Oof.
I had a full beard.
Okay.
It happened.
That happened. Let's go ahead and make note of some stat modifiers. If you have anything, I'm just looking at your stats here, Poppy. I think the only thing that you have a modifier for is intelligence, and it's going to be a -1.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Jacob, do you have anything 13 or higher?
Yes.
What is it?
I have intelligence of 13.
And?
Wisdom and strength of 15.
Both of those are +1. Do you have anything of 7 or lower?
No.
All right. Then you don't have any penalties.
So my intelligence doesn't get me a bonus at 13?
Oh, wait. Sorry. 13, 14, and 15 are a +1 bonus.
Okay.
While, 8 or less is a -1 penalty.
Oh, my charisma is a -1.
So do you have a -1? I actually have a +1 to charisma, +1 to wisdom, and a +1 to dex, but a -1 to strength. I think this is a hobbit.
Yeah. I have a +1 to strength, a +1 to intelligence, a +1 to wisdom, and a -1 to charisma. Yes, I am a cleric.
Excellent. Okie dokie. Now we get to choose an alignment. You get to pick either lawful, neutral, or chaotic.
Chaotic.
Lawful.
And I'll go with neutral. The Hobbit will be the balance between the two.
I don't know if I even know how to spell chaotic. How?
Too many Calimochos, huh?
C-H. Chaotic.
There's some other modifiers to write down, but you know there what? We're just not going to freaking bother with them. All right.
I had to remember how chaos was spelled. Can't we roll for height?
We can.
Can we roll for clothing as well?
I thought we could.
I thought we could.
I've got my 3.
There's not a random roll for height.
This one is pretty cool.
I thought there was.
Dwarves are generally, between my understanding in the Tolkien world, that dwarves tend to be between 4 feet and 4'10".
Oh, I wish my sweetie was here. She could tell us and epic detail.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not seeing the random roll tables. I know I've seen them in other games, but it looks like this game doesn't actually have those.
Okay.
Yeah, it does give you an estimated weight but it gives them in CNs, which
coins.
Are coin weights. Yeah, so in case you are carrying someone else and if they count towards your encumbrance. Yeah, exciting, right? So we're going to start with a cleric here because it's first in the book.
Woo!
Here are some things, cleric, that you need to write down.
Yes, I'm.
All right, you are level 1. That means you need 1,500 XP to get to level 2. You can't cast any spells because clerics don't get them until level 2. And both of you are going to need to write down your base saving throws. Old school style, these don't really make any sense. They are, you have five different saving throws. The first one is death ray and poison.
Okay, hold, now hold on.
The second one is magic wands.
But not staves or rods?
Okay, magic wands.
The second one is paralysis and stone, or turn to stone, or you could say petrification, as some of the modern games do.
Wow, this weed is really potent.
The fourth one is dragon breath. And the final one is rods, staves, and spells.
Why they gotta be have something against wands? Why can't wands get treated like rods?
I am having a really hard time spelling tonight, apparently.
That's fine. That means you failed your save versus spells.
I think it's because my intelligence is a 6-1. I forgot one of the letters in death.
There you go. Yeah, D-E-T-H.
D-E-T-H.
There you go.
Death.
Death. Save versus death metal. Well, in classic D&D fashion, these don't really make any sense, and you always want to roll over the number that it gives you. These set your base target numbers for your saving throws. So, Jacob, I'm going to give you yours as a cleric in order. They are 11, 12, 14, 16, and 15. Dwarf.
Yes.
Yours are in order 8, 9, 10, 13, and 12. Dwarves have really good saving throws. And then Halfling, 12, 13, 13, 15, 15. All right, as a cleric, you can equip cleric weapons. You can't use any bladed weapons. Oh, and one cool thing about the Rule Cyclopedia version of D&D is that clerics aren't actually written as servants of a god. They are written as champions of a cause. You have a cause. You have some kind of a purpose. It can be a theory. It can be a driving force, but it does not have to be a god. And that's one thing I really like about the Rules Cyclopedia.
Clearly, it's Gary.
No bladed weapons. You can wear up to plate armor, and you can wear shields.
I can wear shields?
Yes, you can wear them. You maybe could also use them. I love the art in this book. The classic fighter, the super cute thief, the non-white magician.
Huh.
Yeah, good stuff. The cleric. It's old school style. I just love it.
Is this a reprinting of First Ed?
No, this is from 1991. Okay. This is the collection, I believe, of the Frank Mintzer series of D&D.
Basic, expert, intermediate, Beckmere,
yeah.
Master, and then Immortals.
Yeah, this was a rules compilation and developed. It was compiled and developed by Aaron Alston, who died a few years back. That's very sad. But it's basically the Mintzer version of D&D, from what I understand. I could be wrong. Somebody will probably very loudly and probably with much spittle correct me if I'm wrong. Thanks. I appreciate it.
But damn them. They weren't drinking when they tried to do this.
That's true.
Actually. You must roll 4d6 if you want to be the dungeon master.
And you have the following cleric ability to turn undead with the following results. At level 1, you can turn skeletons on a roll of 7, zombies on a roll of 9, and finally ghouls on a roll of 11, which is done on a 2d6 roll, not on a d20 roll. Aside from that, you're done. That's your character. You're going to get some money. You can go spend it, and which we're not going to do that because that's the boring stuff. All right. Dwarf.
Now.
You are next in line in the book. As a dwarf. Oh, yeah. As a cleric, you have a D6 hit die, by the way. It's modified by your constitution mod, if you have one. As a dwarf, you have a D8 hit die to determine your hit points. As a 1d8 plus your con bonus, which you don't have. As a dwarf, you have the following cool dwarven abilities. Woo. infravision.
What?
Dwarves have the ability to see heat up to 60 feet in the dark.
Okay.
And you have the dwarven ability of detection. You can sometimes detect traps and other stonework, sliding walls, sloping corridors, and construction. It's cool. Pretty cool.
That's cool. That sounds handy in a dungeon.
You're pretty much at home underground. Dwarves can use all weapons and armor that are small or medium. You cannot use longbows. And that's pretty much it. Dwarves are fairly straightforward. And finally, halflings. Halflings are actually kind of complicated. Halflings can use any small melee weapon, and they can use short bows and light crossbows. They can wear all armor. Have you ever seen a halfling in full plate? I have not, but apparently they can do it. Yeah. Halflings have a D6 hit die. Now, halflings gain bonuses to attack and defense against larger opponents. Their armor class is better when someone's larger than them. They have a -2 AC bonus, and they get a +1 to attack with using any missile weapon, and actually get a +1 to initiative. Halflings are cool.
Halflings are cool.
Halflings can use the set spear versus charge maneuver.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Darling, I've invented a maneuver.
And they get some cool bonuses as they level up. That's it.
Don't they start with thieves skills as well?
No.
Really?
Halflings aren't thieves.
Mm.
Yeah. I think in some editions they have like a stay still ability. Oh, yeah, woodland ability. Sorry, I missed that one.
That's it.
They are difficult to spot, having the ability to hide in woodlands or underbrush. In such cover, they have a 90% chance to remain unseen. And it is 33% chance indoors in deep shadows. Ooh. It is not the same as the thieves move silently or hide in shadows because they must stay motionless. But that's pretty much it. Most people, for some reason, think of halflings as thieves in the old school, but really, they're more like fighters. They have a decent hit die. They have they gain a bonus from a high strength. And they're pretty good at combat. Halflings are basically considered, I guess, more like Bilbo. You know, they called in The Lord of the Ring, or in The Hobbit, they called Bilbo a burglar.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't do all that much burgling, you know? Like, he didn't demonstrate the traits of a thief. I don't think he was very thiefy.
No, it's because Gandalf lied. Gandalf was like, choose this guy. He's small.
Gandalf was more like, I'm just gonna fuck with this hobby.
Pretty much.
Anyway, aside from building out some randomly rolled for your gear and starting money, that's it. That's old school D&D. That's the character that you start with. No, well, then you gotta buy it. I mean, you gotta go through a list. And people don't want to listen. People don't want to listen to us reading a book and buying equipment. Oh. If you do, I'm sorry. We're not doing that.
But we're all like naked right now.
No, we're not, but we could be with a few more characters.
No, I mean our character. Oh, my God.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
So that's it. That's old school Dungeons and Dragons. Basically it.
That's boring.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's take it back to the style of games that were played with this edition. Like, you literally took someone. You randomly rolled their starting basic ability. You sort of took those numbers. You divined from that first roll what type of character you're even going to be.
Okay.
You didn't sit down at the table and think, I'm going to play dwarf master, the dwarven master of dwarves. You came down and like, okay, I'm going to roll some dice and see what I'm playing today.
Okay. So,
and most of the time you ran away from kobolds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. As someone who's never done this before, and for the sort of the other character jams that we've done, they've been a little bit more like fleshed out, right? So let me ask you guys, like, if you had divined this character with these stats, what would you, and let me recap here. Strength of 11, dexterity 9, constitution 9, intelligence 6, wisdom 12, charisma 10. What would you have chosen?
Think of it this way. Your characters are adventurers. You are not normal representatives of your average day-to-day members of your society. You have left your homes for whatever reason to go out. Huh? Now, your character is, for the most part, average, although a little bit dumb.
Correct.
That's not bad. That simply means that, you know, you are an average representative of your species out in the wild as an adventurer.
To be honest, looking at your stats, I probably would have gone with a dwarf as well.
Okay.
Because the weaknesses you have in stats, you make up in saving throws. Because yeah. dwarves have kick-ass saving throws.
Which I didn't know when I chose dwarf.
So you are...
But hey.
You are a dwarf or dwarfess, whatever. Yes. You know,
there are no dwarf women.
You have dwarves ventured out from your cave to go adventuring in human lands, in the wild wilderness. Mm-hmm. Why?
Are you asking me what's my motivation?
It could be, yeah. This is something that you are expected to come up with on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't necessarily have to sit down, roll the dice, and then immediately have a full backstory.
Sure.
But we can get some inspiration here.
Yeah.
Your wisdom is your highest stat, which means you have some worldly smarts about you.
Sure.
However, your intelligence is your lowest stat, which means you're not too bright. You're not book smart. You don't know much, but you can figure things out. So you have a high intuition, but a really low intelligence.
Interesting. Mm.
Yeah.
Huh.
I can think of a number of people that I've known in my life who were really perceptive and really quick to pick up on things, but not so good at processing them.
Okay. Interesting.
So that's what your dwarf is like. Now we got to figure out why they left home. Maybe they were kicked out for being kind of dumb, or maybe they wanted to go out and experience more and maybe gain some knowledge of the universe.
I think that this dwarf has just gone through a really nasty breakup, and his options were to cut his hair and have bad decision bangs or to leave home and go on an adventure.
What about you, Jacob, as your cleric?
Well, given that we're rolling with the Dungeons & Dragons Rules Cyclopedia, it offers two out-of-the-box campaign settings. One is Hollow World, one of my all-time favorites, and the other is the original basic Dungeons & Dragons world of Mysteria.
Mystara. It didn't actually have the name Mystara. It was, at the time, originally simply the Known World.
Right.
And then they republished it along with the Rules Cyclopedia as Mystara. This is fascinating history behind it.
So this cleric is a strong believer, in making Mystara great again.
Oh God.
Boy.
Strength 15, wisdom 15, charisma 8. Make Mystara great again.
Oh, boy.
I have a feeling that my hobbit was shanghaied. I think that he is an unwilling accomplice in whatever the hell Mr. Lawful and Mr. Chaos over here are up to. He's not too strong, which means he's easily overpowered.
I just picked him up and put him in my knapsack and was just like, you're coming with me!
But lest you there were out there in podcast land be worrying, we have verified the residency of the Hobbit. And he is a natural born Mystarian.
Oh.
Wah, wah. Well, yes. So he is accompanying you on whatever this mission that you have. So I feel that your cleric is probably the leader of this group.
Yes.
You're probably venturing forth to bring the word of your whatever message to the unbelievers.
MMGA.
Yeah. While the dwarf is just like, oh, this sounds fun.
And the halfling was, I had a drink in a bar, and next thing I woke up tied to a mule.
Oh, well. I probably have some debts back at the town that you found me. So I don't think I am struggling too fiercely against this new arrangement.
I need to get out of the cave, man. Too many memories.
Right. There we go. In less than an hour, we have a party. We're ready to go and do a dungeon and make the dungeon great.
Oh, God.
I will say,
it hurts.
Out of all the rule sets I've played under, this is one of the two best to play the Halfling Food Cart campaign. This and Savage Worlds.
Oh, I ran a Halfling Food Cart campaign in Warhammer Fantasy First Edition.
Yes, you've said that.
And it worked wonderfully.
Didn't you have a lawyer?
We had it was a group of adventurers. There was a dwarven mercenary, an elven archer, a human apprentice mage, a halfling rat catcher, and an elven lawyer. So they established a food cart business by accident, and the whole campaign turned towards managing and protecting their intellectual property in the old world. So yeah, this is D&D. Basic D&D.
All right.
Basic D&D.
There's not that much more to these characters than that.
Well, and what I like about this is, like, there's, I mean, other than having the book and some dice, like, there's really, you don't really need anything. Paper, pencil, your friends.
Yeah.
It's pretty accessible.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
You're not expected to bring that much to it.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a list of special abilities. Your character is, like, the numbers, I think we spent less time coming up with the numbers and the abilities than we did just powwowing their history.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So this is the kind of game where you're expected to role play until the numbers come in. Whereas a lot of the versions of D&D now are like, look at your character sheet, use an ability, use an ability, use an ability. And if you can't find an ability to do the thing, that's when you role play. So this, to me, lends to more openness.
Yeah.
Concur.
Yeah.
When I would feel like, isn't that the point?
Agreed.
It's an RPG role-playing game.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This compendium actually had a skill set mechanic in it, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's a skill system in it. You buy a skill. You have what are called proficiencies.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get weapon proficiencies. They're optional. You don't have to use the proficiencies. They were added in a later, in one of the E or M or C version of it, I forget. Because the basic game, you just could use all the weapons that were available to the class.
Great.
Now, the masteries, I think, are really cool. But they're kind of a pain in the ass if you just want to jump into play.
Right.
Yeah. So it has a weapon masteries, and then it has skills, or, second ed called them proficiencies. Here they're masteries and skills, and they have the skills, but again, they're optional. You don't really need to use them. You can.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That's it. That's D&D. Final thoughts?
One of my favorites. One of the games I kept my teeth on.
Yeah, me too. Poppy?
I get it.
Could you play that character?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I like Hammer Crawl,
which is inspired by this.
Yeah. So I kind of understand Hammer Crawl a little better now, and I am capable of being handed a character sheet and just being like, make this character on the fly. You know, and if I was going to do a campaign, I could see, I kind of get it, but I don't like campaigns. I like one shots. So
fair enough.
But I get it now. And I was just looking in this book here. There's this little section, like the very first, page after you get back, like the, get past like the contents and all that kind of stuff. You can literally just pick this book up, and it says, there's a section saying, what is role playing? And it explains what role playing is in a really great way. Before television, there was radio, and then they talk about like, it's kind of like a radio play, except this is interactive.
And a lot of people today kind of actually hate that section of the game.
Really?
And I love it.
This is great.
I think it tells, as a game designer, I love reading that section, because that section, more than any other part of the book, tells me what the author is thinking.
Yeah. Right?
What their motivations are.
I think, and this gets in a little bit more into design theory and maybe deserves a slot on the main podcast, but I absolutely abhor that section, but that's fascinating. Because it's usually written as an afterthought and is often the worst written section of the book that's written with an incredibly condescending tone.
Well, okay, so here's what I'm picturing. Speaking of role-playing, here's what I am picturing, right? There's some kid who's, you know, he's on summer break and you know, he's gotten his maybe his like allowance for the week. He's gotten his $4 or $5 to spend. You know, his family doesn't have a lot of money, but they're able to sort of give him, you know, yeah, it's come just going with he for this, you know, whatever.
It was the 80s. It was gaming.
It was the 80s. Was a guy. Right. Okay. So yeah, you know, maybe he's, you know, wandering around the Goodwill with his mom and his sister, and he's got this $5 burning a hole in his pocket, and he sees this book with a dragon on the cover.
Yeah.
And he thinks, that's kind of cool. I like dragons. And he picks this up, and in the first page it says, here is how, in very plain language, how you do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool to me. Like, you could pick this up in any thrift store, you know, assuming you can find, you know, I mean, like, there's going to be D&D books in a thrift store, right? I mean,
well, this book specifically is from 1991. However, they recently re-released it for print on demand through drive-through RPG. It's basically the same book, although it's a little bit thicker with heavier paper.
Mm-hmm.
And words out on whether or not the quality is as good, but this is the original. And there's also a variant of it, mm-hmm, re-release called Dark Dungeons, which is a retro clone.
Yeah.
It's the same game, but with someone's house rules basically built into it. But essentially, they all do the same thing. They are inspired from the method that you're describing, which is back in the day, every game had that in front of it.
Yeah.
And this is actually something of a rare book. They didn't print a lot of them. It didn't have very large print run because it was towards the end of when TSR was really winding down. And more to the point, I think after the...
This was 91, man.
Yeah, TSR did not survive much past 95.
Really? Well, no. That was still multiple years. Like, TSR, I think, this was like the height of them at the time.
Yeah. Anyways, one of the problems is many print runs of this had a really poor binding. And
that's true.
And
this is my third copy of this from the original run.
And so there's not many out there because they fell apart.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, the original cost of this book back in 1991 was $24.95. Kind of pricey.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, like, let's say it's 10 or 15 years later and somebody finds this, you know, for sale for a handful of bucks somewhere. You know, some kid's like, this looks cool. I want to do this. And then it's written, I mean, the beginning section, it's written very plainly.
I love this book. This is one of my favorite gaming books that I own. I love the cover. I love the binding. I love the logo. I love the complete world built into it. I love the pages upon pages of hex maps.
Yeah, that's pretty.
I love the fact that this isn't just a game setting. This is a freaking planet. And this planet has an inside as well.
Yep.
There's a planet inside the planet. It's awesome. You can go to so many adventures in this game.
Oh, this is just cool.
Just with this book.
Yeah.
This book can take characters up to level freaking 36. You can become gods. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, and they have character sheets in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, print them off.
Yeah.
Games used
It's
to
called
do that.
A character record sheet.
Yep.
Oh, that's cute. There's a spellbook sheet.
Yeah. Because this is back when being a wizard required prior commitment
there's,
to research.
There's even a hex map.
Yep.
Blank hex map.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, this book
I get it. I get it.
This is a complete gaming system.
From my end of the world, I don't know how many grocery stores managed to keep their photocopier that they had that you just dropped a quarter in to make a copy or 15 cents, depending on where you
like
were.
Like 10 cents a copy back in my day.
Yeah, it's more expensive in my end of the world.
Yeah,
we went to the library, 10 cents a copy.
10 cents a copy for black and white.
For black and white.
It used to be a dollar for color copies.
So the library was 45 miles away. The grocery store was only 12.
This game has sea drools, the flying combat rules, wrestling rules. It has pantheons. It has cosmology. This game, to me, is what started my love of D&D. But it is not the first game I played. And we'll get to that on a later episode. Anyway, this has been another episode of our bonus Character Jam content. I'm Nathaniel.
Just Jacob.
And I'm Poppy Beaujolais.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Biker's Dice and Bar.